Ready to stop trading time for money and build a business that can scale? Then you're in good company. This is the Productize Podcast, where I chat with entrepreneurs who've transformed their businesses using the Productize service model. I'm your host, Brian Castle. Want to learn my best strategies for productizing your business? Then get my free crash course by going to productizecourse.com. Now let's get into the show.
Hey folks, back for another episode of the Productize Podcast. Today you're going to hear my conversation with Jeff Corrett. He's the founder of SEOAK.co. That's SEOAK.co. Kind of a little play on spelling, play on words there. Kind of cool. He joins me today to talk about how he launched and then iterated on his white label SEO service. So in this interview, we talked about how it took only one phone call to craft his service and then make his first sale. That was really impressive. And then how he iterated from one niche vertical to another niche. Then you're going to hear about how, like the challenges specifically when it comes to white label services. Jeff and I actually compared notes on this because I've dealt a little bit with white label services in my previous business. And I personally found some challenges with it. And I think Jeff did as well. So that was kind of interesting. And then how Jeff used what his customers told him to iterate and then expand on his product line. So we'll get right into that conversation in just a minute. Now, today's quick tip when it comes to productized services is don't rush perfection. This is so important, you know, because so many people want to find that overnight success, or they want to find that immediate quick win, you know, press a button and get X result. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. And I've learned this myself again and again and again. And the more you go through these kind of trials and errors, the more you realize it's really all about learning as you go, making small iterations and improvements, and leveraging those lessons, and from whether they're mistakes that you've made or wins. You know, if you stumbled upon a quick win, you can leverage those and kind of build those into your body of knowledge as you then build your business. So, you know, specifically when it comes to productized services, don't rush perfection. The important thing to understand here is that you're not going to get it right on day one. And that goes for the specific idea, the problem that you're targeting, the right target customer, the solution, the way that you deliver your solution. So the steps, the process that you go through, it's not going to be perfect on day one. You're going to have to go through the process of delivering your service for paying customers 5, even 10 times to really refine it and figure out where the kinks are, what needs to be changed, what do clients actually care about, what don't they care about. And that's how you can really improve and add more and more value over time, rather than, you know, stressing over getting it all exactly right on day one. So that's today's quick tip. Don't rush perfection. And now let's get into the conversation. All right. So I'm here with another interview. This one is with Jeff Corrett. Jeff, thanks for joining me today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Cool. So, you know, this series of interviews, they kind of range from case study interviews, and we're also mixing in some coaching calls in here as well. And I think in your case, probably a little bit of both, because you've had some early wins with your productized service in the SEO space. But you know, you've been at it for a little while, and you're looking at ways to iterate and potentially pivot your service. And we'll get into why, you know, you're thinking about these questions. But you know, you have come. You have made, you know, quite a bit of progress so far. So why don't we get into your story, and then we'll get into some of the questions that you're faced with right
sure.
now.
Sure.
So sounds I mean, good. how did? So by the way, just for folks can check it out. It's your site is SEOAK. I like that. I like the name there. That's SEOAK.
.co.
Cool. So that's your site, and that's where you're offering SEO. Productized services. We'll get into kind of what the different packages are, but I mean, before we get into all that, like, can you tell us a little bit about your background and what you were doing before you launched SEOAK?
Yeah, so in 2007, I started a web design company that kind of over the years transitioned into you know, all facets of digital marketing, and kind of late 2014, early 2015. Just really kind of getting hit with the commoditization, or what I thought was the commoditization of the web design and digital marketing industry. And, you know, kind of getting, after doing it for several years, I was just tired of the whole pitch process of, you know, getting new clients, and just after a lot of research, kind of ran into your content and bought the productized course, and kind of showed me the way. Even though I had been building productized websites for a bit, I was never really happy with the results, and just kind of figured someone who had, you know, with you with Restaurant Engine, thought I could definitely learn a thing or two about how to do that correctly. And I definitely learned a lot from your course there.
Cool. So before you got into, you know, into all that, like, what were you really struggling with in the web design business?
Well, I felt like my biggest thing was spending so much time on the proposal process and you know, spending hours and hours just coming up with a proposal, and then, you know, high chances are they're not going to go for the deal, so just kind of a lot of wasted time. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the one time I did have any kind of like streamlined sales was when I was doing the productized stuff with like a, you know, $1,000 website package, which I had several years ago. So I just wanted to kind of put a little bit more effort into that side of things.
Yeah, and get a little bit more focused on who you're targeting and
yeah,
and all that. Very cool. Okay, so then how did your next step come about? SEO, is that kind of what came next?
I kind of realized that I really needed to pick a vertical in order to get any kind of content marketing momentum, because I was just putting out things for my web agency that didn't have any kind of correlation with, you know, one piece of content would be totally different from the next and not really targeted to any specific audience. So my first productized service was a strategy package for contractors. So I wanted to go after contractors first. I figured that was a good niche. So I spent about 3 months and I came up with this.
Like building contractors? Or?
Yeah, exactly. Construction professionals, contractors, those types of companies.
Cool.
And yeah, so my first product was a four session, like private strategy session, like for digital marketing. So that was my first thing. And I built up a list and I built a product that was like $1,000. You know, it was basically paid discovery, if you want to call it that. But
what was your did you have any inroads into the construction industry, and how did you go about building that list?
So I built up a list that wasn't very big. It was only like 30 or 40 emails, but the way I did it was through Facebook groups and through Reddit, and I put out some a lead magnet that was like highly relevant, like and it was kind of in depth, like a 40 page like mini ebook. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was more like 20. It was like a 20-page mini ebook guide on digital marketing, like what any contractor should know about digital marketing, kind of condensed. So I put that up and then threw it around different groups, and just within a few weeks, I had about 40 emails, and then I tried to do my first launch.
Very cool. So 40 people kind of like raised their hand, signed up for the email list, got the free content. And these are groups related to the construction industry, contractors.
Yeah, a lot of them were like self-employed contractors type of thing.
Cool. And I guess they're a little bit more web tech savvy, social media savvy, because they're on these groups.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so the package you were offering them was a kind of a four-session workshop where you're kind of...
Yeah, it was like a private workshop, yeah.
Okay.
Of digital marketing, take a look at their strategy, deep dive into their business and what their goals are, and try to come up with what their next steps should be. And kind of the hope there was to lead into some project work. You know, I'm the one who told them what to do. Well, why not just hire me to kind of take care of that stuff for them? That was the idea there.
Got it. And that's a pretty common, you know, way to, or like one avenue you can go. If you're in the web design industry, you know, productize the discovery process. I've seen that work successfully several times, and I used to do that myself when I was doing web design work. You know, we'd have like 1,000 or two, some depending on the company, sometimes up to like $5,000 discovery session, which, like you said, it's kind of like a couple of meetings. You know, we do a deep dive, and then we come back with a report.
Mm-hmm.
On here are our recommendations, and you know, sometimes they include wireframes and workflows and research and like our findings and whatnot. And we show that like that's the final product is that roadmap. And we had a standard process for doing that, just the discovery. But then that would lead into a big custom project. So it was kind of like a productized service, total consulting service hybrid kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But how did it go for you? I mean, you're focused on this niche and like after you had the list of 30 or 40 people, what came next?
What came next was, so I was thinking $1,000 would be a good price for that that package that I was talking about. And just to kind of gauge interest, I put up a little launch where I had like a very, 3 or 5 day sale for like dirt cheap, like $100 or $200. And, I said, hey, if you want to take advantage of this, go ahead and sign up. And I actually got 0 signups. So that was kind of a fail.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a small list, first of all. So
true.
There might not be enough data for it to really produce results. I think the other thing is, and I from to a certain extent I ran into this with the restaurant industry when I was in that business. These are offline people. Mm-hmm. They're not used to buying in the same way that we would buy online products. Going through educational funnels and whatnot. What I found in the restaurant industry was that once we built up the traffic to a point where there were enough numbers, then we can get a small percentage of them to convert, but then ultimately get them on a call. Mm-hmm. And then kind of do the sale over the phone. But so from there, like, what was your next step?
Well, I was kind of, I was definitely disheartened by the fact that I didn't get a sale at like 10% or 20% of what my goal revenue was for that type of product. So, and then I had a few more general web sales calls with some people I had in my sales pipeline for my regular web business. And, I just got some really weird vibes from those types of prospects, including some really rude interactions that I decided I don't feel passionate enough about this audience or prospect niche, if you will, vertical, to kind of like make this my focus. I decided to go after who I really, really was enjoying talking to at the time, which was other digital marketing professionals, and in particular one Facebook group that I frequent that's part of another community that I'm in, just like really enjoying talking to those type of people.
And, yeah.
I had heard some people have success in white label digital marketing, so I decided to like be the SEO expert in that vertical.
Yeah,
so very that's cool. Kind of my next step.
Nice, and yeah, we'll definitely dig into where you went from there. But I think the important thing that we should try to pull out here is, I mean, that pivot into a group and a market that you're already tied into, that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. Spending time with and getting on calls with and networking in these communities and whatnot. I mean, the way I like to look at it is when you're choosing your target customer in the very beginning, yes, that can iterate over time as we've seen in your story. But, if you think about it, like, who are you going to want to go network with for the next year, the next 3 years, even up to the next 5 years? And that can mean spending time online. That can mean writing content for this audience. That can mean traveling to conferences. If you're not excited about going to a conference for the construction industry,
exactly.
It's just not going to make sense. And I kind of ran into that challenge myself when I was in the restaurant business as well. There's a big restaurant industry conference in Chicago, and I never made it out to that. It would have been expensive for me to do that, but also because I didn't want to spend a few days out there doing that, it's a tough challenge to get through. But I think once you identify that group that you already have inroads in, and that probably also means that you know more about that group and their problems and their and what their goals are than anyone else. So what came next?
So the next thing, if I remember correctly, I think I maybe reached out to that group and I said something along the lines of, I'm thinking about getting into white label SEO. Has anybody, would anybody like to talk, or has anybody experienced problems with like delivering SEO? And ended up on a call with somebody that I met at a conference for this particular group, and by the end of the call, we had put together a product, and she had agreed to pay for it. So it was kind of cool, like one phone call getting to revenue, as opposed to months with the construction industry not getting a single penny. So that was pretty awesome.
Amazing. I mean, so one phone call, and you kind of said something there. So you formed the product over the phone with the customer?
Yeah, we just kind of talked about what kind of trouble they're having and what a good solution for that would be. And it turned out it was basically an SEO audit. And just customized to exactly what their particular needs were. So I said, all right, let's do it. And
I love the way that you went about that. And I mean, again, you started with the person, not even the solution or the problem. First, you started with, like, your who, right? And then you got on a call with them. And I mean, going into that call, did you have any idea what your solution or your product would end up being, or were you completely open-minded?
I was open-minded, but at the same time, I had some ideas, which I kind of went over. But I went over it like, hey, this is kind of what I'm thinking. Give me some feedback. And sure enough, it was pretty close to what she was thinking. So
nice.
It turned out to be a good fit.
So, who can you tell me a little bit about her? Like, what size company? What kind of work did they do?
It was a two, or maybe one and a half, like. One full-time, one like half-time developer who's now full-time, type of thing. So pretty small web digital agency.
So they're they do web design and development, and their clients potentially need SEO services, but they themselves don't really offer that.
Exactly. Or, I guess the alternative solution would be to hire someone, which can be the average SEO expert is like $72,000 US a year. So I get, that's the alternative. And, people want to work with someone they like and trust. And, we got along pretty good when we met. So,
okay. So how did you even get the phone call? Was this someone that you knew personally, or was it?
We had a brief interaction at a conference. That was it. So we just kind of kept in touch from there.
Nice.
So,
it's
a pretty tight knit community.
Yeah. That's awesome. Kind of you're leveraging your personal network to get the first contacts in the door. That's great. So what did you guys talk about, and what was the can you tell me, let's dig into that conversation if you remember it.
Like, sure.
Were there things that you were proposing that she was saying like, no, that's not quite what we need? And like, how did that back and forth go?
I wish I could remember more specifics about it. Yeah, it was.
Or I think I just, like, I think what I just were some of the questions?
Her challenges. Yeah. It's been so long that I'm having trouble remembering what the client was, and I'll try to dig a little bit into that. Maybe that'll help jog my memory. I'm kind of drawing a blank about exactly the specifics of that conversation.
Yeah. So like, where did you end up? Like at the end of that phone call. What was the service that you both agreed would be valuable to her?
So what I had proposed was like a four-stage SEO audit, which is unique. Like, people usually have one massive SEO audit, mm-hmm. but what I proposed was a four-stage type of thing where my partners, as I'm calling them, digital marketing companies can choose from the four different stages. So stage one would be the architecture, that's the on page, and then stage two would be content creation and promotion. Stage three would be user experience and social signals, and then stage four, link building. So when I kind of explained that, it's just like, oh, that makes perfect sense. Now I can just do stage one, and we can kind of get to the other stages later. And basically, what I had proposed was $250 per stage, for a total of $1,000 for all four.
Hmm. And is it? Is it possible to do just one stage? And like, yeah. does that even like solve their problem? Or
it solves part of their problem,
like a quarter of their problem.
Exactly. But I guess I built it that way because it'd be kind of like to fill in any knowledge gaps, because with these types of people, you know, they have a lot of them have a little bit of knowledge about the on page, but not so much the content creation side of things, or, you know, they'll be able to do really good user experience, but not, you know, they'll kind of leave the architecture and on page alone. Like, so it was kind of designed to fill in any knowledge gaps. And so people don't have to pay for something they don't necessarily need. So that was kind of the idea.
And so this was intended from the start to be a white label service. And so can you take us through, like, how does that work? And maybe even on that or any of your early conversations, like, what do those clients want in terms of a white label partner? Like, do they want you to be completely invisible to their clients?
Well, you know, that's one thing that's definitely varied from partner to partner, prospect to prospect. It's been like some of them want to put my face on their team page. Mm-hmm. In fact, this first conversation, they ended up putting my face on their team page along with my name. And I told them, you know, just don't put my last name, just put my first initial of my last name. And then they get to benefit from looking like they have a larger team and maybe closing some bigger deals. And some people want me completely behind the scenes. And I've even, some other people still want me to hop on sales conversations to help close the deal. So it's like, geez, it's like, it's highly varied. So that was one big challenge. Like, so many different people have different expectations. There was almost never similar expectations with these conversations.
Yeah. Is that something that you've refined over time? Like, have you made that more standardized?
I tried to, but I just kept getting surprised. You know what I mean? Like, people are so different in this space that I just kept getting surprised.
You thought about breaking them up into different pricing tiers? Like, if you want me to come on a sales call with you, that's an extra X number of dollars.
After a few conversations, I realized that the sales cycle was getting really long, and people were having different expectations as far as like how the sales process would go and stuff like that. So that kind of leads me to my next product, which is the client ROI plan, which is kind of like where I could come in and hold their hand through the sales process. So it's kind of a starter product in that regard. So it's basically $100. I do, I ask a bunch of questions about the client, and I put together stuff that they can basically copy and paste into their proposal. Things
so
like,
this is like a sales training kind of product.
It's more, I guess you could call it that. I don't really know what it was, but it turned out to be my best seller.
Okay.
But it was just like ROI projections based on their current results, their current KPIs, their current traffic, and kind of how they were doing. So, and then I was like, well, for this.
Wait, so just so I'm clear on this. So the client ROI plan, you're working with the digital marketing agency, and the deliverable is to help them land more clients who want SEO, or
the deliverable is to help them close a specific deal,
a deal for SEO work.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're taking a good hard look at one specific client of theirs, whether it be a current client or a prospect.
Oh, I see. So the digital marketing agency can buy this like repeatedly from you.
Exactly.
Like every time they have a new lead for SEO work, they bring you in to do like the lead qualification and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
For one specific client, yeah.
Cool. And so how did this plan come about? Was it a similar thing where you were on a call with a prospect? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly how it came about. I was with another prospect, and they were like, I really need help selling this stuff. I don't know what to tell these people. And I was like, I was kind of doing this stuff. The interesting thing was I was kind of doing this stuff for free in sales calls.
Yeah.
And then I started charging for it, and people started paying for it. But the weird thing was when I offered to do it for free, people were more not willing to take that step. But when I started charging, they were willing to take that step. So it's kind of strange. Yeah.
There's got to be some kind of psychology at play.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. But again, I still love your approach, which is, you know, talk to your target customers, And even if new problems arise off of the first one. So the first one is they know they want to start selling SEO service, and they may even have a couple of clients who need it. They just don't know how to deliver it. A related problem to that is they also need help selling it. So you're kind of, you know, solving related problems for the same audience, and you're coming up with these things just by talking to your target customers. So I think that's all really solid. And you said that the client ROI plan was the best seller. Mm-hmm. How did that shape up? Why did that become so popular?
I guess it's because it was so low cost, and it was kind of my starter product. So it was kind of the thing that all my sales conversations naturally gravitated toward, because it really is the next step in the sales funnel. To like, you want to call it a tripwire? Yeah, I don't know what you call it, but it is that starter product to transition people to like my main product. So that's kind of why it became the best sellers, because that's where my sales conversations went towards.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about this, like, that seems like a really valuable thing, the client ROI plan. I mean, you're helping them make more sales. Mm-hmm. And you're enabling them to like directly impact their revenue. And I see the value of the one-time repeatable $99 thing to like bring you in. And I mean, I'm assuming it's priced fairly low because they haven't closed the deal yet, and
exactly.
It's not worth the investment. But I wonder if there's an opportunity to have like a one-time higher cost setup of their sales process. Mm-hmm. So when they're a brand new client, they come to you and you set them up with the sales process. Like, look, this is what your lead magnet should be. This is what your very first conversation should be. This is how you set up the SEO discovery day or whatever. And here's some training on doing the like the client ROI yourself, or you can have me and my team do it mm-hmm. for $99 each. You know, so yeah. like the intro, the setup of the sales process could be $500 to $1,000.
Yeah.
Right. And I think what you'll also find with that is it attracts more serious agencies who are more capable of making sales. Mm-hmm. In Restaurant Engine, I did venture into white labeling the service a little bit. I think that's actually still available. Again, I'm not the owner of the Restaurant Engine anymore, but so I don't know exactly what it is today. But when I was working on it, white labeling wasn't a huge portion of our business. We mostly went directly to the customer. But we did get so many requests from people who wanted to white label Restaurant Engine that we offered it. And at first it was pretty low cost, but then I found that by charging more to become a white label person or white label company, it meant less people signing up for it, but the people who did sign up for it were more likely to bring on clients. Mm-hmm. And so that was definitely one thing that we found.
Okay. And I skipped one of my products too.
Okay.
Because I think before I had the client ROI plan, I had I wanted recurring revenue, right? So I put together a recurring plan, which has come a long way over time. But the initial iteration was a combination of the roadmaps and implementation of the. And of course, the roadmaps are audits, basically. But so the monthly plans were a combination of the roadmaps and the implementation of the action items from there. So I came up. So that was the monthly plan that I was kind of pushing people towards after the client ROI plan.
Got it. So the client ROI plan helps them sell the client. The roadmap is kind of the audit.
Yeah,
which is like a one-time project. You do a four-stage mm-hmm. audit, and then the results of that audit are okay. This is what needs to be done on a monthly basis for this client.
Right, but they're kind of all alternatives to each other. Where the roadmaps are probably better for a situation where the partner wants to do the work themselves. Where the reseller plan is more of a done for you. the monthly plan is more of a done for you, where I take care of the implementation.
Yeah, in that case, I would still, again, look at somehow increasing the price and even increasing like the value of the client ROI plan. If that's not leading into recurring revenue clients for your company, and they're simply taking the ROI plan and then doing the rest themselves, then I'd look at ways to increase that customer lifetime value for that person, right? Like, I guess looking at it on paper, it seems like it's one long product ladder, right? The helping you sell, helping you do the audit, and then helping you do the monthly service, and like the same partner can benefit from all three of those. But if they're segmented and a lot of folks are just going for the $99 sales product and they're not getting the other ones, then I would try to increase the value of that. But otherwise, it's not going to be profitable to do the $99 one time.
Yeah, and kind of where I'm at now, I sold quite a few of these client ROI plans, and basically the sales conversations between, as far as I know, the sales conversations between them and their prospective clients didn't, they didn't end up going for it. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe they're not closing these deals. Maybe they are closing the deals and not telling me and finding another provider for SEO. Like, I don't really know what's going on, I probably could have been a little bit better with follow-up, but
interesting. I think it's worth digging into that a little bit, like with your clients. You can shoot them an email, call them up, and see like how did it go, how can we improve, what do you think could have been improved, just like you've done before, like to further develop the product.
I think at the end of the day, my prices were and the types of clients I was doing this for weren't, more often than not, in most cases, weren't the type who could really get a really good return on investment from, not only my prices, because they're not super low, but of course all my partners seem to want like between 50 and 150% markup on my prices. So, most companies are going to struggle with getting a good return on investment with those types of margins. So, it's just another challenge to deal with. You know what I mean? Keeping costs low, and then my partners need their cut. It makes it really hard to make it affordable for a lot of companies.
Yeah, yeah. But I think again, to them, they're coming to you with a need in the beginning, and without any of your services, they wouldn't even be able to begin to sell SEO clients. Mm-hmm. And I think for them, and just, because I have a background in web design and I know a thing or two about SEO as well, but I assume that most of them are coming to you because they too are on like the project to project kind of business model, and they see SEO and marketing services as a way to get into recurring revenue. Mm-hmm. I think if you were to boost up that sales package, if it's like a one-time kind of training and giving you the materials to get in the sales process, and then kind of leading into the other ones, that could work well. But I think it still comes down to talking to them and seeing what's working for them in their perspective and what's not. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned early on that now you find yourself in a place where you're asking some questions and considering iterating to different ideas. I mean, what are you thinking right now?
Well, this white label thing has been extremely challenging. Like, my strong hunch is that if this wasn't a white label product and I was serving a market directly, I wouldn't have had any half the struggles I had, because I've been doing this stuff for a long time, and these sales processes are crazy long. Like, I've never seen anything like this. So,
yeah.
So I guess I'm thinking about going after direct vertical, and I've got some ideas there, but
that would, I think you're right on with that, and that's actually exactly what I learned myself in the white label stuff with Restaurant Engine. The sales cycle was definitely very long. And we constantly got questions about, like, do you help us sell it? Like, we even gave them an extra site on Restaurant Engine to be their marketing site, because they don't even have that capability. For a little while, I gave them some white labeled sales materials and like a white labeled ebook and stuff. But I just found that, you know, still at the end of the day, like they're not reliable enough to make that worth my time investment, or they can't reliably sell it. So even if I remember having leads come in saying, you know, are you guys capable of ramping up to hundreds of clients within a couple of months? Because, you know, we expect a huge volume of sales coming through if we become a white label partner. Mm-hmm. And those very same people didn't even bring on one.
Right.
You know, and it's,
I get people asking me about, like, can you handle, you know, 50, and then, you know, they might bring on one or right. like you said, none. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. And then, you know, like you said, it's a long sales cycle, because not only do you have to sell your service to your clients, there's a second level. They have to go make the sale to their clients. And that requires upfront marketing and getting, you know, for them to get leads in and all that. So, yeah, I do think that going to a direct market and just taking these very same packages and retrofitting them for a direct SEO market would be good. I think that the thing that I see most SEO services, the pitfall that they mostly fall into, is they're serving so many different verticals. They're just serving everyone, and they're offering SEO as the way to differentiate themselves. Mm-hmm. But if you can focus on like SEO for Shopify stores, you know, or, you know, SEO for medical practices, and just really kind of focus in on one niche.
Yeah, I was thinking about my next vertical, like something I'm really passionate about. I'm really into competitive gaming. I was thinking about the esports vertical. There's a lot of companies popping up in that vertical. I'm also into skateboarding. I'd love to work with skateboarding companies. But the easy one I was thinking about was appliance repair. You know, I'm not super excited about it. I definitely wouldn't want to go to an appliance repair convention. But that said, you know, I've had success there, and I've had some success in e-commerce. But I don't know. I think I'd like to go after something I'm really passionate about. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. Who do I want to serve next? Who do I want to reach out to? And I'm kind of leaning towards esports right now. I'd be super excited to work in that industry.
Yeah.
So I'm putting a list together to reach out and maybe start some conversations, whether it's SEO or not, like kind of find out what their problems are.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think, again, in terms of like picking that target customer, most ideal client, I think it's a constant iterative process. And I think there's also a balance to it, right? Like, you can look at like the low hanging fruit, you know that these local appliance repair shops are easy to reach, easy to bring results for. So maybe you do some of those in the beginning and then kind of pivot off of those results into a more attractive market.
I like the way that sounds, but as of right now, like I'm still going to serve the people that I've got relationships with for the white label stuff, but I'm not really, my sales is not focused on that right now. So
yeah,
I'm just thinking about the next step, and I think I've kind of pushed as far as I can with white label and banged my head against the wall.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about next steps now.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I definitely have run into a lot of the same frustrations with white label, and I've heard it, you know, from others as well. So I think this has been, you know, pretty instructive for anyone who's you know, thinking through similar questions as they're going through this stuff. So
cool.
So Jeff, thanks for taking the time. This has been, you know, this has been great. Let's definitely catch up in a few months and see how things go.
Sounds great. Have a great day, and great talking to you.
All right, Jeff. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in today. Get all the show notes for this entire season at productizepodcast.com. And to get my free Productize Crash Course, where I share my best strategies for launching and sustaining your Productize service business, head over to productizecourse.com. All right, time to get back to working on the business.